You are listening to the Spencer and Mom Talk Sports podcast with your hosts.
Hey there, I'm Spencer, a former college basketball player and avid sports fan.
And future D1 head coach.
And that's my mom, Allison.
Hello, I'm also a former college basketball player and probably more of a sports fan than your average mom.
Since we both play a lot of basketball and love sports, we decided to start our podcast to share our love of basketball and sports. And we'll even throw in a little pop culture from time to time.
And along the way, we'll invite our sports-loving friends to join us on the podcast to chat as well.
Hey, Mom, are you ready to start talking?
Yes, let's start talking, Spencer. In fact, I have a question for you.
Yep.
So last week was the end of your basketball journey. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel the same way I felt in that moment. That was a lot more emotional. The ball finally stopped bouncing, as everybody tells you it will one day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I handled it better than I expected myself to. It was easy because my teammates around me helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I felt like it came over me as the buzzer went off, it came over me. But like immediately, one of my teammates, Jumonte, embraced me, and he helped me walk back in. And we were a very close team, so. I don't know. I guess being with them it made it easier.
Sure. You guys were really close, and you were the lone senior this year, so
yep.
You kind of had that senior spotlight all year. And I know towards the end, well, not towards the end, actually during the whole season, you have sort of been a quasi-coach for the team as well. And I know a lot of people were asking you about your next steps, and I really liked what you said on a radio show that you wanted to live in the moment and finish out being a player till the very end before you started thinking about becoming a coach. So I loved that message that you said that day.
Yeah, and I think I did that. I definitely lived in the moment up to the very end. But, enough about me. Let me talk about you in your moment in college when you let it go and the ball stopped bouncing for you.
So my moment was in 1995. We got back to the NCAA tournament, and we went out to Seattle to play in the tournament. We won our first game, and then we got beat by the University of Washington in the second game. So that ended my season. And, I was a fifth-year senior. I had a lot of aches and pains. I was ready for it to be over, frankly. And so the last moment before I left the hotel, I left my shoes in the trash can in the hotel room. And I honestly never played again.
Just clean cut.
Just clean cut. Yeah.
That was it.
And it felt totally fine. Like, mm-hmm. I really was ready to just be done with it. In 95, there was obviously no other step for me to take but to get my degree in broadcast journalism. And I thought I was going to be the next Robin Roberts. I wasn't.
Something happened around 1998.
Yeah, around 1998, something big did happen, and I'm staring at him right now. But, yeah, I think you'll play a lot, even after with pickup games and, I know, men's leagues and things like that. But I was really done, except when, you came around, and then I got to teach you the game and beat you in horse many, many times.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. But
was quite a while ago.
Yeah, but just for the record, she has not beat me in horse in around 7 years.
That's true.
Just keep that
about 7 years
clear.
Yes. But I probably am a better free throw shooter than you.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
I can still hit free throws pretty well.
I can dunk a basketball, but it's okay. We're not getting a score.
Yes, I never quite mastered dunking a basketball, Spencer, but I was pretty proud that in college I could slap the backboard on a layup, and that felt like a real accomplishment for me.
Yeah, I was proud of myself in seventh grade as well. But anyway, so we're talking about, letting – the sport that you love go, and it seems like for you it was a lot more of a, it was more of a fulfilling feeling than probably a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is just like your overall career? You've just felt like you accomplished what you needed to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the things, and you can chime in if this happened to you, you play high school ball. It's fun. I had a phenomenal high school girls basketball team in Gentry, and we won a state championship. We I think I lost 8 games from 7th grade to 12th grade. We were a great basketball team. We had a legendary coach in Scotty Nolan, and it was a lot of fun. And my teammates, we played basketball together from 7th grade to 12th grade, which isn't typical now. But when you get to college, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who comes there to be your teammate is as good as you are. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I hold the scoring record at Gentry and with 51 points, and I broke that record my senior year, and the person who held it before me was my dad in 1970, I believe, with 50 points. So that was pretty cool, beating his record. Yep. But when I came in with the six, I think five other freshmen, one of them had 54 points, one of them had 48 points, one of them had 62 points, and you realize really quick that, you know, you're not the star, the lone star anymore. You are going to have to gel with these, be a team with these other teammates. And it was very businesslike. I had a really unique situation at Arkansas. I had two coaches. I started with John Sutherland, and then I had Gary Blair, who is up for Coach of the Year right now at Texas A&M. Loved Coach Blair. He turned our basketball program around. I played in two conferences. I started out in the Southwest Conference, got to play against the great Texas Longhorns. And then we moved over to the Southeastern Conference, where I got to play against the great Tennessee Volunteers. And our first road trip to Tennessee, I think they had about 12,000 fans who spent the entire game chanting, "Welcome to the SEC," as they beat us by 50. I kid you not.
Pat Summitt beat a lot of people by 50.
She did beat a lot of people by 50. And so, and I got to play in two gyms. We started out in Barnhill, and then we got to watch Bud Walton being built, and we got regular tours in Bud Walton. And one day they brought us over to show us there were these springs that they built into the floor. And so it would make the floor bouncy, you know, not really for the girls, more for the men's team. But so we got to watch Bud Walton literally be built in front of our eyes. And then I played in Bud Walton for 2 years. So that was quite an upgrade to go from a pretty gross locker room at Barnhill to a phenomenal locker room at Bud Walton.
Yeah, I can imagine. I also played in Bud Walton, I believe, in fourth grade for the camp, the Mike Anderson camps.
I did. And I believe the Arkansas Hawks even got to play there in a tournament one time.
Yep, they did. I do remember that now.
Yeah, so let's talk about you. You started your high school career at Fayetteville High.
Yep, started and finished at Fayetteville. Still talk to my coaches this day. Really enjoyed my time there. You know, we didn't accomplish all the things we wanted to do, but at the end of the day, we had a great team, and I still cherish those memories a lot. And then
Wait, let's talk about who you played against in high school.
I'm guessing you're talking about Bentonville and their Division I high major superstar.
Somebody Malik. People might have heard of.
Yeah. And we played Malik. I'll say this to try and maybe, you know, go to him and come on the show one day, but I never lost to him. So, you know.
That's right.
4-0 all 4-0. Time. Him and Tyler Robinson. I'll name drop him as well.
Good. And also, North Little Rock had two really great players.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They had more than two, really. Mm-hmm. That year, my junior year, when we lost to them in the state semifinals, they had Kayvon Allen, who went on to play at Florida, Adrian Moore, who went to UTEP. And if you know Adrian, you know he was an Arkansas legend growing up when we were younger. KJ Hill, who I think, I don't know the exact record, he went to Ohio State to be a receiver and broke the all-time receptions record or receiving yard. I don't know. But he's in the NFL right now. And, you know, they had a really talented team that year. So, yeah, the talent level of that high school class was strong.
Yeah, the 2016 class was really strong. Yeah.
Yep. And after high school, went to Lyon College, an NAIA school in Batesville, Arkansas. You know, not maybe the place that you always think you're going, but I still appreciate that I got to go there because I think I would genuinely have been – I'd be genuinely sad if I didn't meet the people that I met there for sure.
Yeah.
Because I met some really important people in my life that I was still connected with. And
at the time, you were thinking about pre-med. You had been shadowing with an orthopedic surgeon, and you thought you wanted to go pre-med, and Lyon College is an excellent academic school and gets, I think, 99% of their students into med school.
Yes, if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer and you live in Arkansas, then you need to apply to Lyon College.
That's
absolutely
right.
Yeah, I think the money was more the motivation for me with pre-med than anything else, and then I got to freshman chemistry and quickly realized that being a doctor wasn't going to be my my future path.
And I remember the phone call because Mom knows when you told me you wanted to be pre-med, I completely supported you, but I knew your study habits. And so when you called me mid-semester and said, you know what, Mom, I kind of think I want to coach. And I said, I kind of think you do too, son.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you probably knew, but that was nice of you to let me at least try it out.
Absolutely. You got to figure it out for yourself. And you loved shadowing the doctor. You loved going into surgery.
Yeah, but that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like looking at Coach K at Duke and saying, oh, I'd love to do that, but not seeing the grind of the path to get there.
So. Absolutely.
But, yeah, so spent 2 years at Lyon, played 2 years, decided to leave after my second year. Kind of just took a chance on, didn't really know where I was going to go. Started putting emails out, feelers, trying to walk on, trying to play somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting connected with Missouri State and walked on up there. And I've been there. I was there the last 3 years and just finished playing there.
Yeah.
As we talked about earlier.
And Missouri State had just gotten a new coach in Dana Ford. And so that was a good time to be there on the ground floor of a whole new program. Mm-hmm. You've made lifelong friends.
Absolutely.
Which is always the best part about going to college, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I made some very, very strong connections up there with, you know, my player, with my teammates and my coaches and just the people up there. It's really, really like, it's a very strong community up there in Springfield when it comes to basketball especially.
And has a few more restaurants than Batesville, Arkansas.
A few more restaurants that don't have drive-thrus, yes. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it was really tough to get a meal after the game at Lyon College, but plenty of options in Springfield. And Springfield's only 2 hours away, so we've really enjoyed being able to run up there and see your games, which has been nice. And so now you're going to pursue that coaching dream?
Yes, I am. But I have to say, I feel bad talking about Springfield and not talking about Batesville. It was a good experience, too, as a town. That town was, you know, Lyon's the only college, really, in that city. And they really embraced it, especially when we were winning. I remember I used to, after the game sometimes, we would go eat, and I'd get my meal paid for a lot just by people that were just happy to watch us play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a great community down there. But, yes, coaching, that is my next step. Going to be a GA with the Missouri State men's basketball program right now. And, you know, just going to do what I have to do to get through that part, get a master's, and keep on following my path.
Good. And so what kind of coach are you going to be? Are you going to be loud and screamy? Are you going to be calm? Are you going to sit? Are you going to stand?
I think that depends on how good my players are.
I bet.
How much I scream and yell.
You know, one of the things I've really loved about sort of things that have changed because of COVID, I love that the coaches are dressing so casually. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes me realize, why didn't they always dress like this? I mean, a suit and hard-soled shoes seem silly when you're as active as some of these coaches are on the sidelines. So I hope that they sort of keep this because I bet they've enjoyed dressing more casually. And then the second thing that I would have loved as a player, and you'll have to tell me how you felt about this, the expanded bench is amazing because, as you know, the benches, especially on the road, the benches are so squished together. You would come off the court so sweaty and you'd sit down next to your two teammates and then you'd just be, you know, squished up next to them, sweating on them. And so I can see where teams would probably really like to have that expanded bench. Did you like the bench like that?
Well, to answer your first question, I do think some like coaches are enjoying the year of casual dress. But I think on a personal level, I always kind of enjoyed watching like – because so my favorite coach probably in college basketball is Roy Williams in North Carolina. And I always loved when he would have a suit on and then he would have his Jordans, his pair of Jordans for the day on. Sure. I kind of like dressing up for the TV. I think that is kind of a cool
coaching. But, so you're going to be sort of a dress-up coach then, not a sweater vest guy?
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
And to answer your second question, yeah, the expanded bench was way better because you're right. It is really tight over there, and it's just kind of nice to be able to walk around and be spaced out like that. Mm-hmm. And it's nice not have the fans right behind you.
Yeah, I bet. I bet, which is going to be a tough call because, you know, the fans that are that close to the bench pay big money to sit like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just thought, man, this bench situation is really pro player and pro coach. You know, the coaches even, you have a coach that tends to stand a lot in the coach's box, but I think he sat a lot more this year because he had his own chair and it was, you know, wasn't right up on top of the next guy.
Well, it's also nice as a player, I think, if you, you know, make a horrible turnover and you come out of the game, you know that, you know, what your coach is going to say to you, you get to walk away a little bit and sit away from them.
It's yeah, we're nice not going to say space. Those words on the podcast.
No.
Well, yeah, you get to sit away from him, right? And he can't really – he's going to have to come walk pretty far to come chew you out. Yes. Is there anything else? I mean, so let's talk about COVID because it's been a wild year. And I know we're excited about March Madness. We didn't get to have it last year. Well, I know
it was mad last year. It was just for a different reason.
Exactly. It was mad last year. I know you have been COVID tested a billion times. So yes. Will you kind of walk us through, like, what was a week like leading up to a game?
So usually when season got closer, we were, I think, testing three times a week. So if we had a game Thursday, we would test Monday.
Okay.
Do what we had to do. We wouldn't test Tuesday, test Wednesday again before the game.
Okay.
And then obviously play the game and I think test the next day after the game.
Wow.
And, so it was quite a rigorous schedule most mm-hmm. of the time, but we ended up getting used to it just what has to happen.
Yes,
We actually had started going to the more shallow COVID test.
Oh, good.
It was nice, but
still in the nose, yes. Not the mouth. Yeah. Okay.
But when we got to the conference tournament in St. Louis, we had to get tested every day, and they were not doing the shallow test. It was the
no
it was
way
the deep test, and it was oh, rough. Yeah. But yeah, it was an adjustment. I think. I mean, obviously, we're used to it now. It was kind of funny. I got asked a question on the Art Haynes radio show about we had played a game against Southern Illinois, and it was a single game because we have been playing back to back games. And he asked if that was weird or if that was more normal to play that single. And I was like, you know, it's more normal now just to play the back to back. So mm-hmm. that's what we've been doing all year.
Right.
So we all adjusted to it.
And what's interesting is the back-to-backs is what you guys are used to in summer ball. Yep. I mean, it's easy for you to play six games in a weekend if you keep advancing in the tournament. So I kind of felt like the back-to-back games are what you're more used to anyway.
Yeah. I'd say if I was still 16. At 23, it gets kind of rigorous.
It gets rigorous.
The practices
yeah.
and the games.
And so I know that your team, I think all teams have the sensor in your uniform, right, that does the contact tracing? Because once in a while you can see it sort of light up on a player as they're on the court. Mm-hmm. And so was that your responsibility to put that in the jersey, or did your jersey just come with that already attached?
Yeah, it was separate from the jersey. Our jersey had a little patch on it where we
okay.
stick it on there. And they would give it to us before every game, before every practice, and then we'd put it on.
Oh, practice too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
That is some amazing technology. When they were talking about doing that and being able to know a player was around these three players this amount of time, then that's who needed to be contact traced. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some, you know, that's fascinating that they were able to come up with that as quick as they did.
Yeah.
Anything else about COVID? I know the coaches wore masks and gloves in practice. What were road trips like?
A lot of hotel time.
Yeah. There's, yeah.
A lot of the food, you know, being brought to you instead of going to restaurants.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you missed some of that fun that you guys used to have where you'd go out
yeah,
together.
Yeah, we didn't really get to do like, – when we went to St. Louis for the tournament, we didn't really get to do very much. We had to stay in the hotel because, I mean, that's just how it was. You know, usually you'd probably go on a trip to, like, maybe the zoo or something with your teammates. But I mean, with COVID, mm-hmm. you just got to – it's really basketball. It's a mm-hmm. professional, more business-like.
So your dad and I came to St. Louis to see the final tournament, mm-hmm. and we had a hard time finding a restaurant in downtown St. Louis. And so we did eat for a lot of money at the arena, thankfully, but the hot dogs were very expensive. But it was interesting because we all had to wear masks, and even you had to take a bite and put your mask back on after the bite. So every arena's protocols have kind of been different. But it's going to be interesting to see how Indianapolis handles it. I know that they're going to have, I think, probably the most fans anybody's had all year. So I'm anxious to see on television what it's going to be like now having a real fan noise instead of the piped-in stuff that a lot of people have been using.
Yeah. I'd wager it's probably going to be the most strict venue
Strict.
All year.
I bet you're right.
Yeah. Just because it has to be. It's the biggest stage.
Yeah, because in your tournament, you had a team that actually got tested positive and had to forfeit a game. And we know we don't want that to happen in March Madness.
Supposedly tested positive.
Yeah, we've now learned that it was a false positive. And so they, you know, ruined their whole tournament with a false positive test. But, you know, I'm interested to see if that's going to affect the men's or women's tournament.
Yeah, hopefully with the bubble in place, it shouldn't.
I hope so. Yeah, so let's talk March Madness. Is this the greatest time of the year?
I mean, I believe so.
I believe so,
too. If you like college basketball, it is.
I believe so. Like, I can't get enough.
Yeah.
Especially the first weekend, it's just basketball overdose. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And there's the upsets, and you think your bracket is so good. You have so much confidence. I mean, usually on Thursday, but now this year, it's, I guess, technically starting on Friday. You've got all that confidence going in with your bracket, and then by about 8 o'clock that night, your bracket might already be busted.
Yeah. And then Virginia loses to the 16th seed.
Yes, which we cheered greatly for that. And on another episode, we'll talk about your hatred for the Virginia offense and defense, but not on this episode.
No.
And I'm pretty excited because on the women's side of things, the Lady Razorbacks are potentially going to play the Missouri State Bears if they both win.
That is going to be a tough game for me to watch.
Yes, our alma maters are going to go at it. And you'll wear your gear, and I'll go find some of my gear.
Exactly.
And we'll battle it out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great game. I really hope they both win their first game and play each other because they're both phenomenally coached women's teams, and it's going to be a great matchup. And it's kind of sad that they're matching up that early because I really feel like they're more of an Elite Eight matchup, but I can't wait to see that. And I was really excited to see today that Chelsea Dungy got third team All-American, though I'm very biased and believe she should have been first team All-American.
I was not excited. I think it was a terrible decision. It should have been first team.
It should have been first team, 100%. I mean, I'm thrilled she was recognized as an All-American because she is one, but she should have been first team. I also believe she should have been SEC Player of the Year. Again, I am very biased, but even the stat lines tell you that Chelsea should have been SEC Player of the Year.
Well, the UConn women's basketball team only had one loss all year, and it was to Arkansas.
It was to Arkansas.
And she was the leading force in the game.
Yes. How do you not just hand it to her that night? I don't understand.
Well, if we were the ones making the decision, I think she would be unanimously.
Definitely. How do we get on that? Is there a way that you and I could get in that room to make that decision?
I know better than I would.
Because I would have also given Mason Jones Player of the Year last year. So there's that. I am biased, you know, Razorback fan my whole life.
Let's just give it to a Razorback every year.
Fair. I love that. Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of our turn because it's not given to us or a Razorback ever. So I'd like to see that happen once in a while.
Yep.
Okay, so are you feeling good about your bracket?
No.
I'm not either. Like, I feel a little... I'm not feeling good about it. One, I didn't watch a ton of basketball this year because I watched a ton of your games and Lady Razorback games. So I feel a little discombobulated when it comes to some of these teams. Like Illinois, I'm like, wow, okay, I've got to go figure out what their mojo is.
Well, I did watch a lot of basketball. I still don't feel good.
Really?
I feel like this is the hardest year I've ever had picking a bracket.
Because you feel like they're all really even?
Yeah, I think COVID equalized a lot.
Okay.
You know, while now the one seeds have been pretty solid, you know, it's usually blue bloods, but this year you got Illinois as a one seed, you know, Baylor,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of shaking things up, and it's just made it really hard for me to pick.
Okay, good. Well, I don't feel so bad then because this is the first time that I really deep dived on ESPN's like bracketology information.
Yeah,
because typically I feel like I've got a good feel for it, and I just don't this year. And I think COVID is going to play a role in it. I think the players are undergoing COVID fatigue. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's interesting that they're all going to be in the same place, mm-hmm. Which I think the NCAA will find that could really be a good thing going forward is just having the NCAA tournament all in one city. Yep. I know the city would appreciate it greatly. You know, there's always injuries, and there's always just that Cinderella that you just don't know who that team's going to be. But that's why it's madness, right? That's why it's so fun. So we actually have a family bracket challenge. I don't think you've ever won.
I'm going to have to look that up and the history of the bracket. I don't recall not winning, but I also don't recall winning. So.
But so it includes your dad and stepmom and your siblings and your stepdad, my husband, and your nan and papa. And we all do a bracket. We're allowed
and
two
Maggie,
brackets.
And Maggie, my girlfriend.
And Maggie, you your girlfriend. Maggie. I'm sorry. I would never forget your girlfriend, Maggie. And so we all get two entries, and then the winner gets a $25 gift card of their choice. And I think last year, little brother Xavier won.
I think he did.
At 12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we may overthink it. Mm-hmm. Maybe the 12-year-old just picked for fun and won.
He's pretty savvy.
He is pretty savvy.
He might have had a little bit.
He probably watches more basketball than you.
I don't know about me.
Okay. Well, Spencer, this has been awesome. We are talking, we're finishing up our first episode of our podcast. I'm so excited that you agreed to do a podcast with your mom. I know that's probably not something that every 23-year-old thinks that they're going to get to do, but I'm super excited about it.
I don't know. I mean, it was on my wish list. I don't know.
It was? You made my day. Okay, well, good talking to you. We'll talk next time on episode 2.
Yep. Thanks again for joining us here on the Spencer Mom Talk Sports Podcast.
We hope you had fun listening, because I know we had fun talking.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a rating, review, and subscribe to Spencer Mom Talk Sports on your preferred podcast platform.
And join us next time for more sports talk and pop culture banter.
Till next time, I'm Spencer.
And I'm his mom, Allison. Thanks for listening.
The Spencer and Mom Talk Sports podcast is recorded in Fayetteville, Arkansas, produced and edited by Identity Productions, with copywriting by Monica Thomas.